When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Good Monday morning. This has been talked about for years and years and years. I can remember when Juan Soto first came up as a teenager and we first saw him as a Washington National. People were talking about, man, when this guy becomes a free agent in a number of years, what is he going to get? Then he was turning down $300, $400 million deals from multiple organizations. We saw him go to the Yankees. He talked about his free agency then. We talked about how he was going to rent in the Bronx and buy in Queens. We talked about this so much, we stopped talking about it here on the show because we got sick of talking about it. And it came to a head last night. Juan Soto signs with the New York Mets, decides not to be a New York Yankee for a totality of $5 million over the course of this deal. It's incredible. It is a huge moment for the Mets organization, stealing a Yankee in that way, paying him the most, flexing the muscles for Steve Cohen, especially after last year getting spurned by Yamamoto when he was ready to pay him more than anybody else. But this is just the first step, because this is 15 years of this guy being quite possibly the most, the highest paid player in baseball, unless someone gets a bigger deal than this. He's got to win. He's got to be great. He's got to deliver a World Series, all of those things. And this contract better not stop them from spending more money, because then I'm really going to get pissed. But today, I'm happy. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, baby. You're right. Thanks, Eddie. I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm good, man. But here's the thing. I mean, I want to know whether or not this is going to preclude them from going after more players. It shouldn't, because Steve Cohen is so much, you know, is worth so much money. And, you know, the devil's in the details with this contract, and I can't wait to see all the contract details. Right now, we're being told for the first 5 years of this contract, okay, he's going to get a $75 million signing bonus. That's great. And he's going to end up pulling in a total of $305 million in the first 5 years of the contract, which means that the AAV of that contract is $61 million per year for the first 5 years of the contract. After that fifth year, he can opt out. And hopefully by that time, he's won two World Series and two MVPs, because that's the kind of money that they're paying him. I mean, this comes along with a lot of pressure and a lot of expectations, and it should. And, you know, he's been a guy who's been a really good player. I do not think he's a five-tool player. I think he's a really good hitter. I think he'll slot nicely in the Mets lineup. But after 5 years, if they want to keep him, if he opts out and he wants to stay, they have to raise his then salary of $51 million, which is really, it's not, I mean, it's 51 in salary, but he's got the $75 million signing bonus, to $55 million for the rest of the contract.
Yep.
So it's an insane contract. You know, Steve Cohen has stepped up to the plate here. This is a little surprising, because I don't necessarily know this is what David Stearns would have wanted to do, but he was being told to do it.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's a really good point. I would love to get a candid David Stearns take on if he's like, oh, I think we went a little too far with this. I mean, I'm glad we got him, but I mean, I wish it didn't take $765 million.
Right, and I do think that you're right. There is something about signing a Yankee away from the Yankees, forcing the Yankees to go all the way up as high as they did, especially given the fact that they have Gerrit Cole, they have Aaron Judge, and they have Giancarlo Stanton on that roster. Now you would have added a fourth person to that roster, and it would have been just an insane amount of money that they were spending. They would be kind of like the Dodgers. And I guess in this arms race and in this race for great athletes, and especially on your Steve Cohen, who's trying to do other things over there at Citi Field, he's got to make everything relevant over there, which I think is a good thing. And Juan Soto came to free agency at the right time with the right owner in the mix, and the Mets were not going to be outbid. I never thought in my wildest dreams that they would ever go this far, this much, and for this long. And they did it, and I guess this is the way baseball is meant to be. I can't imagine that the commissioner's office, which I really don't care about, but it could be really totally happy about all of this, the way this thing played out, simply because three quarters of the league don't have a shot. They don't have a shot in hell.
Yeah, and the point of the luxury tax or the Cohen tax is to be able to stop owners like Steve Cohen from doing stuff like this, and it certainly didn't stop him here. I don't know if it's going to stop him in the future to go over a particular threshold, but you know, we sat here for months in agreement when people called up about this before we stopped taking calls on it because we were sick of it. And people would say, you know, having him there with the Yankees and hitting next to Judge and being part of the Yankees and going to the World Series with the Yankees. I mean, you know, maybe he'll take a discount, or maybe, you know, the most money isn't going to matter to him. And we said, no, no, no. I mean, no. This guy was going to take every last penny. We said it for months, and he did. Now, do I want to believe that he was all in on the Mets program and is like, yeah, I want to be a Met, and David Stearns is the best and Lindor's the best and this is the best team out there and I want to be a part of it? I'd love to believe that, and maybe some of that thought process went into it, but you can't convince me that if the Yankees had matched that deal that the Mets had, that he would have gone to the Mets. I mean, Steve Cohen was going to offer the most money. We all knew that. And he ended up taking it.
All right, so now he has the most money, the largest contract in the history of Major League Baseball.
In professional sports.
Yeah, professional sports. That, I don't know, Michael Schumacher, how much is he making? F1 driver?
Yeah, I don't think it's this.
Ronaldo?
I mean, everybody's Messi. Been saying professional sports.
All right.
Maybe North American professional sports, I don't know.
Listen, at the end of the day, it's all guaranteed. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, for players that are in other sports, they look at this, and, you know, this is very NBA-esque, this type of contract. So it feels, but the fact of the matter that they would go that long with a player.
Well, he's 26, and, you know, you see a guy who is 30 years old and Aaron Judge was getting 10 years, a guy who's 26 years old getting 15 isn't to think.
What I think would have been, it would never happen, but I think it would have been fair. Okay, we're going to give you $305 million over the 5 years of your contract. You have the ability to opt out. We should have the ability to opt out.
Yeah, but then they would never get him.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, it is just, it's remarkable that Shohei Ohtani, who, by the way, you know, had a 50-50 season and led his team to the World Series, is making $700 million and is going to come back and pitch next year as well as hit. I don't know if he'll have as many stolen bases, but this is, right now it's exciting. And hopefully the next 5 years, he is going to be the missing piece. And it'll be interesting now to see what the Mets will do on top of this.
Yeah, and it's not going to be a big starting pitcher. It's not going to be Corbin Burns. It's not going to be Max Fried. I think they're just not in the business of doing that, giving long-term deals out to pitchers anymore. That's just not the David Stearns way, so I wouldn't expect that. So don't think, you know, I got duped into last year thinking like, oh, man, you know, the totally bargain basement hunting with Stearns. No, I mean, it's just that's his philosophy with the starting pitching, and I love it. I love the fact that he's trying to find these guys and get them in the program and figure it out and get them on short-term deals, because once you sign these pitchers to 10-year deals and they, you know, have a Tommy John surgery and everything else, it's just it's a disaster. So I wouldn't expect them to spend a ton of money there, but yeah, they're going to have to. The only thing about this contract that bothers me, because I don't care if he deserves it. I don't care if Ohtani's a better player and Juan Soto's making more money. None of that means anything to me if it doesn't hold the Mets back from doing everything that they want to do. Because the second that happens, then I start getting pissed off.
where it's like, okay, the entire team is that guy. You know, like we've seen that in football with the quarterback, which is a different story. Yep. Where like the rest of the roster sucks and you've got the quarterback. I just don't want that to happen.
You know what? This contract, and I guess the Yankees were what you said about $5 million.
So it was 16 for 760 was the Yankees offer.
And that's twice as much as they're paying Aaron Judge.
That's right.
That's insane to me. I'm kind of glad that, I'm not kind of glad. I mean, now what do the Yankees do? Where do they pivot to? And there are ways, and you and I have talked about this before we really got into all this stuff, that there are ways that the Yankees can end up buying three or four more players for this amount of money.
Well, I mean, yes, but how much impactful? Because you got to think. So it's like their AAV with Soto ended up being $48 million over the 16 years. It was $51 million for the Mets and Steve Cohen. So you got to look at it that way. You know, with that $48 million a year, are you getting four good players? Probably not. You know, you could get two really good players if you split that, you know, $25 or $24 million for each player. But it's tough, man, because now you're banking on two guys in free agency to come over that you don't know anything about. And by the way, you know, Juan Soto did come to the Yankees and succeed. He was good. He was really good with Aaron Judge, and they went to the World Series. So, I mean, it's just going to be tough to find two guys that are going to be able to get that production. And now I would be scared if I were the Yankees, because they're probably going to pivot to one of these pitchers. Like, if they end up, you know, giving a ton of money to Max Fried, then he comes here.
They need a first baseman. Oof. They need a third baseman. And they need an outfielder. They need that. That's really what they need.
Yeah.
And you can get three players. Maybe not nearly as long term, not nearly as much money per player, and still be able to refortify your lineup and make it longer. And look, would you be surprised if the Yankees added Pete Alonso?
I wouldn't, and I think that's going to be like just going to drive the Yankee fan crazy.
When Pete Alonso is hitting 55, 60 home runs for you,
maybe,
and you have three guys with the potential of. If in fact that happened, that's what I would do if I were the Yankees. I'd immediately go get him, put him on the team. I would. I mean, and remember, you know, he was the guy protecting everybody else in the lineup. Now he has the protection in the lineup.
That's true. And he came off a down year. I wouldn't expect him to have another year like that.
I mean, a down year, but still. I mean, still a presence, played every game.
Yeah, yeah. They could do a hell of a lot worse than Pete Alonso. The reason I just said the Yankee fan would hate it is just because of all the things that go along with fandom, where now it feels like the Mets are the big brother. We took your guy, and now you're taking our scraps. I mean, that's what it's going to feel like. And that's why this is significant today. Like, this is every dream that a Met fan had when Steve Cohen became the owner was realized last night. Was the biggest free agent is out there. They're going to offer him the most. And they're going to outdo the Yankees.
And I would think that, I wonder if David Stern started with Scott Boras, or maybe it was Steve Cohen who started with, because they lost Yamamoto.
Yeah.
So
they were pissed about that because he flew to Japan, Steve Cohen, maybe twice, at least once, and then had them at the house, too.
I'm assuming that they sat down with Boras immediately and said, look, you know, we don't want to be played here. If we're the highest bidder, we want to know that he's coming to the highest bidder. We don't want to be the highest bidder and then him leave us standing at the altar, because if you do that to us, we will never do business with you again. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, therefore, I would think that Scott Boras, the agent, the super agent, would have said to whoever he was speaking to, whether it be the Red Sox, whether it be the Dodgers, whether it be the Yankees or the Mets, that the highest bidder is going to win, guys. He likes all of you. He wants to play for all of you. Here are a couple of things that we have to have in the contract. If you're willing to meet those contracts and the contract requirements, and you are the highest bidder, then therefore we will accept that offer and we're not playing anybody here. So that, to me, if he would have signed with the Yankees for less money, that would have been the ultimate indignity for Steve Cohen.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I feel like it was trending in that direction from a lot of the reporting before last night. And I never believed that he was going to take less money. But I mean, you think about it. So yes, the AAV is different. The signing bonus is different. All of those things. But over the course of the contract, it was a difference between $5 million. So if you're a Yankee fan this morning, like C-Mac, and I'm driving in, and he's trying to think about this, this is the first time this has ever happened to him.
Yes.
That a player has said the Yankees aren't good enough. Like, we're talking the difference between 760 and 765, and he spent a year with the Yankees, you know, hitting in the same lineup as Aaron Judge and going to the World Series in the pinstripes, and he let $5 million make him go to Queens and put on a Mets uniform. And that is a tough pill to swallow for the Yankees fan this morning. And it's just, it's never happened to them.
All right, so in order for this contract to be considered a success for the New York Mets,
they got to win a World Series. Or they got to be consistently in the playoffs with a shot to do it. I mean, I don't care about his individual accolades. I mean, and for Steve Cohen, for it to be a success, it's going to help him get his downstate license. It's going to help him develop that area. He's going to have the ballpark packed. I mean, there's he wants to win too, but I mean, there's a lot of business side of this too. But for me, as I sit here today, it's all about winning their next World Series. That's what it would have to be.
You know, I'm not so one way or the other about not going with the Yankees or stealing a guy from the Yankees or whatever. I just felt like Juan Soto has been a mercenary since he left Washington. Like, he didn't want to sign the deal with San Diego.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He didn't really, I don't know if the Yankees would have offered him a deal before he, you know, before the end of the year. It didn't sound like it. And I feel like he was just a guy, as you have pointed out many times, that he is going to sign for the most money. He's not going to, it has nothing to do with legacy. It has nothing to do with the legacy team. The legacy teams would have been the Dodgers and it would have been the Yankees. That if it was all about legacy, it would have been one of those two teams.
Yeah, and think about this too. You know, Scott Boras last year was embarrassed in that offseason. He was the butt of all jokes. And if his client, you know, didn't cash in this way or didn't take the most money, then it would have been another one of those situations where it's like, oh, I guess you didn't do your job. So it was all part of it. But, you know, Steve Cohen, in missing out last year, made the bigger statement here this year, and it is exciting, but it's also it does come with some nervousness. Like, I'm not full jubilation Evan Roberts, Sal Licata, Pete Hoffman, Tommy Lugauer, who I saw last night, you know, going crazy on the Rico Bronya live podcast, because there's you're talking 15 years at $51 million a year. I mean, Juan Soto is a great player. Does he deserve to get more money than Shohei Ohtani, who's won multiple MVPs and pitches and hits?
Or Aaron Judge.
Right, well, younger, so that's a... But yeah, I mean, it's like, I can't answer that question.
Yeah.
With a resounding yes, because it's just not true. So it's a huge day for the Mets. It's a significant paradigm shift in New York baseball. But it comes with a lot of work to do. There is a lot of work to do ahead of us. And for the young Met fan, I'm sure they're absolutely thrilled. For the ones who have been through the wars and have the scars to prove it, we got to see him go out there and be an MVP-type player for years to come.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. for millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and rewatch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Susan Waldman said something with BT and Sal yesterday that's got to, if it got back to Hal Steinbrenner or some of the guys in the front office that have been around for a very long time, Brian Cashman and others, it's gotta hurt coming from Susan, who has been as big of a Yankee supporter, one of George Steinbrenner's biggest fans, right?
Yep.
She absolutely loved George Steinbrenner. I mean, you remember the whole Roger Clemens, obviously, with Craig and in George's box. So she said on BT and Sal that Steve Cohen is this generation's George Steinbrenner.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
Man, that's a deep dig.
Oh.
I mean, it's also a nice thing to say about, I guess, in the world of sports, it's a nice thing to say about an owner of a particular team that will do anything that he possibly can to spend the money to bring in the best players.
Forget about that. I mean, yeah, it's a big compliment. I mean, that, to me, on WFAN's airwaves is a shot across a bow to the Yankees organization.
Especially now if they lose Loaisiga to the Mets.
That's a E2 Brute situation with the Yankees. You know, she got a call from somebody. Excuse me? Did I just hear that correctly? You're telling me that Steve Cohen, the Mets owner, you're comparing that guy to George Steinbrenner? Hal is his son. Hal offered $760 million. And you're now saying on the home of the Yankees?
You know, the Yankees supposedly offered $760, but the Mets have the potential to end up spending, I keep telling you this, like $855 to $860 million on this contract.
Yeah.
Because of the opt-outs and how much money that Juan Soto is receiving in the first 5 years. So it's $305 million opt-out. Goes from $51 million to $55 million, so that would be 10 more years at $550 million.
Yeah. So it's 550 plus 305 is the potential contract here. And that doesn't include any incentives for the different awards that he could possibly win, or all-star appearances or gold gloves, things of that nature.
I mean, that's basically like Susan saying, that Francisco Lindor is the new Derek Jeter. Steve Cohen is the new Hal Steinbrenner. It's like saying, I'm not saying.
I know, they got to get some rings like, first. Let's everybody calm down until the rings start happening. I mean, that would be my retort if I were a Yankee fan. You don't have the rings. So stop comparing somebody to somebody else who has the rings.
Hey, she did it.
And you know, if you have the rings, like Phil Simms has the rings, I don't have a ring.
She is implanted.
You know what I'm saying?
Firmly implanted in that Yankee organization.
Cannot do that. You got to have the rings. That's what I would say.
It'd be a bit of a sacrilege spot.
As much as I hate it, you know, the Devils got the cups. The Islanders have the cups. I've seen one cup.
You have, but you've seen one.
I've seen my team get pushed around all over the place.
Yeah, but you've seen one.
You know? Yeah, but no, but it's like, you know, we're big brother because we spend the most money and we have the biggest fan base and it's the most passionate. Well, everybody's passionate about their teams, but I can't sit here and say that, you know, like I love my team and I'll fight to the death for them. And when they get screwed over by the officials, I'll let people know. But when they're playing like crap, you know, they don't deserve my respect at that point.
Sure. I understand. I don't know why. But where are you going with this?
I was talking about Susan talking about Steve Cohen being the next George Steinbrenner. Hey, time out. My retort as a Yankee fan would be, hey, where are the rings say that he's the next George Steinbrenner?
That's true. But I think, you know, and that ultimately will be how he is judged in the end. But right now, he's the guy that goes the extra mile.
Listen, all the warts, you know, some of the warts that George Steinbrenner had and all some of the problems he got himself into, the scandals and things of that nature. At the end of the day, what he saw, when you really think about this, he saw an American brand and said, this thing is being mismanaged and it's not being what it should be. And he saw that as an opportunity to take one of the great American sports brands and turn it into what we see today. It was great back, you know, when there were, eight teams, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But now, when you think about Yankees, Cowboys, same thing with Jerry Jones, when he ended up buying the Cowboys, he saw an opportunity for an incredible, incredible name recognition, fan base, worldwide allure, and took it to another level.
Well, Steve Cohen was a minority owner with the Wilpons, saw an organization that he was a fan of and his wife was a fan of growing up, being run in a way that he wouldn't run it, heard that it was up for sale, saw that A-Rod and J-Lo were putting together a group. He said, no, step aside, folks, I'm coming in and I'm going to turn this organization into a world-class organization. Not only going to do that, I'm going to turn the area around Citi Field into a destination for all and a casino. And we're going to get rid of the chop shops and put world-class hotels in here. That's what he saw.
Chris in Lynbrook, what's happening?
Hey, Booms. I love you, man. You're a big Ranger fan. You know, we love you. But the sniffles, the way your nose sounds right now, oh, my Lord.
I know, it's brutal. I know, dude. And, you know, you can thank Jerry and Gio for that because they're the ones who got me sick. I could actually stay home. If you want me to stay home, Chris, I could do that.
Yeah, you should have done it from home.
It would have sounded worse.
It would have sounded a hell of a lot worse.
Oh, I hear you. It's just, I'm listening to you. I'm like, no, I can't listen to Boom.
I'm sorry, bro, man. That's just the way it is. What can I do about it? It's life. I mean, you heard Frances on his podcast the other day.
I'm still not completely uncongested. All last week I had it. Jerry all last week had it. I mean, it's just, you know, everybody's sick this time of year, man. What are you going to do?
I hear you. I just wanted to let you know, though, in terms of the Rangers, we really have to get something going. I'm at a loss right now. I was there on the Chicago night. I'm like, what? What the hell is about to cry?
Hey, I was at the Buffalo game 2 weeks ago, and they were brutal. They were awful. I left in the middle of the second period. I said it was a disgrace watching them play the Buffalo Sabres the way they did. No turnovers, no defense. Trouba was still here, still upset. You know, I'm getting sick of it. I'm getting sick of watching guys making a lot of money not holding up their end of the job.
Exactly. I'm like the heart. I feel like we lost some heart.
I don't know where. I mean, this team was the President's Cup trophy team last year. They had a great power play. They were great on the penalty kill. You know, the goalie started out slow, but then he came on late in the season. He was great in the playoffs. And all of a sudden now, for whatever reason, this team has lost its way. And maybe it was because of the discussion about trading their captain in the offseason that could have had something to do with it. But I don't know what is going on with Mika Zibanejad. I mean, if I see him going down into the defensive zone and he's going towards his own goalie and he wraps the puck around the corner one more time and turns it over and it ends up in the back of the net, I'm going to shoot myself.
Whoa, jeez. That'd be a little extreme.
But I'm just telling, I can't, you know, and I don't know, Keandre Miller forgot how to read, like, the offensive zone and the standing around and puck watching and not taking up your man. I mean, it's just so many little things that are going wrong. And, yeah, they've been hitting a lot of pipes and everything like that, but at the end of the day, man, it's not the same team with the same attitude that it had last year. And that attitude was because they were embarrassed by the Devils in 2023.
So the Yankees, they go to Plan B. They bring in Max Fried. And I also had this epiphany about this Bill Belichick UNC thing when I was driving in. And maybe something that he is doing here, if you just peel back one of the layers. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, G. I didn't mean to interrupt your opening there, but I just couldn't help it talking about Phil and the infestation
the geese.
Of geese. Yeah. You know, I just want to say thank you to Brian Cashman. Thank you so much. You took Max Fried out of the NL East. That was very kind of you. Makes it a little bit easier for Juan Soto to live up to some of the numbers that we've paid him.
That's right.
And I just want to say that when I saw this yesterday, I was like, uh-oh. Look, Max is a great pitcher. I'm not saying he's not. But he's going to be, I think he's going to be 32 in January. And they just invested, what, 8 years in him?
Yeah, is it going to be 32 in January or 31 in January?
I feel
just
like
Google it.
I'm doing it.
He's Googling it. Just leave him alone for 5 seconds, will you please?
Yeah.
I mean, he's so like his fingers. It's like 6:02 and his fingers are ready to go on the buttons.
It's Chaz Chisholm.
It's 31. By the way, there was another one of those on MLB Network last night. I tagged Jerry in a post. Hopefully he saw it.
So he's going to be 31 in January.
Yeah, he's 30 right now, yes.
This is where these guys have to make their money. I mean, just simply because of the way the Major League Baseball is set up and financially for them. And good for Max Fried. No ill will towards him other than the fact that I'm glad he's out of the NL East.
Yeah, and he thrived down there. There's no two ways about it. We've seen him be very good for years against the Mets, so that is a great thing. Now, as far as the Yankees are concerned, obviously, it took 8 years to get him. They were desperate, he wasn't going to get 8 years probably from anybody else. That's why he chose the Yankees. I don't know if the Yankees would have been his first choice, but this is another one of these big starting pitchers coming from a smaller, quieter market that's going to be thrown out into the Bronx, and we can go on and on and on about the guys who have not worked out, and Gerrit Cole was the guy who did. There have been so many other guys who have not, and all the things that I'm hearing about Fried, about, oh, he's the perfect lefty that has thrived in Yankee Stadium, yada, 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 is the same stuff we heard about Carlos Rodon when he signed
with
the Yankees.
Yeah, I know. I mean, sooner or later, they're getting it right. I'm just saying, like, you know, you're signing a guy that's going to be 31, and he's going to be supposedly pitching for you when he's 38
and
39.
But the back end of these deals, I mean, you know, we're signing Juan Soto when he's 26. We're going to be paying him when he's 40.
It's insane. You know, we talk about, Rick DiPietro Day in the NHL.
You
got Bobby Bonilla Day for the New York Mets. I mean, like, all these guys, those numbers are going to pale in comparison to the numbers that are going to be being paid out to these guys for so many years in the future.
Well, there's no deferments in this deal. So maybe at some point they change it and then they do have deferments.
Do you think the Dodgers have Shohei Ohtani Day like 40 years from now when they're paying him $30 million?
Yeah, when they retire his number and he shows up with his 5 World Series rings and then waves to the crowd. That'll be Shohei Ohtani Day.
This is the thing. Shohei Ohtani, first year, big money for the Dodgers, didn't even pitch, and he led his team to a World Series. That's what I'm talking about when it comes to Juan Soto.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of impact that you want when you give it a guy over $750
million. 65, yeah,
and
that's
remember,
right.
And remember, again, I keep saying this. So here's what this comes down to. It comes down to $305 million for 5 years, $61 million a year. That includes the signing bonus. After 5 years, he can opt out. If the Mets want him, they opt back in. He now gets a 10-year, $550 million contract.
Yep.
Then it goes up to, you know, everybody's saying, oh, well, his salary's 51. It's not really 51 when you put in the signing bonus. And the reason he took the signing bonus is because he wanted to avoid taxes.
That's right, and it also helps the Mets when it comes to the competitive balance tax. But you know, when you talk about 8 years, I don't think Brian Cashman thinks it's smart to sign a 31-year-old guy to 8 years. I just think that's the way that you have to get these guys. You have to commit to those back end years for them to choose you.
All right, so I think starting pitching good. I think their bullpen will be okay. They'll refortify it, and if it goes haywire, they'll refortify it by making trades and things of that nature. You know, it's still early, and by the way, thank God baseball is actually having these winter meetings, and things are starting to happen.
Yep, took a while, but things are starting to happen is right. And David Stearns was asked if they're going to be doing anything while they're at the winter meetings, and he said, I don't know. There's some conversations that are moving, but you know, I'd like to see one or two things done before all of it's over there. So, you know, now the Yankees have to turn to the trade market, and there's a bunch of names out there. But these names out there, you know, a lot of these guys, like, all right, Christian Walker's a free agent, but he's 33 or 34. You know, Nolan Arenado, people have talked about him coming over and a trade, and maybe, you know, you see the Cardinals eat some of the money. He's in his mid-30s. Like, these guys that they're going out to get, and I understand there's a window for them, so they want to win while Gerrit Cole and Aaron Judge are in their primes. But, I mean, it's just dangerous to be signing guys in their 30s or trading for guys in their 30s and wanting to have some sort of future.
Well, I was going to say, number one, the guy that's going to have, I think, the most pressure on him other than Max Fried, simply because he signed a new contract, and Carlos Rodon, the same thing, is going to be Jason Dominguez, because he's going to have a chance to win the center field job. This is his job now if he wants it.
That's right.
And, you know, where are the Yankees going to get this offensive production from that they had last year? How do they replace that? That's really the big question that I would have right now. I expect Aaron Judge is going to have a great year again. He's going to hit for average. He's going to hit for power. You know, he's going to be the guy he's always been. The question is how, you know, is Jason Dominguez ready? Who's playing third? Who's playing left? Who's playing second? And who's playing first? You got those answers for me?
Well, I gave you a couple names that were out there.
You didn't give me any answers.
What are you talking about? I don't have answers because I didn't sign anybody.
I want the answers.
I told you that Nolan Arenado was the guy they're looking at.
You can't handle the question.
I have handled the question.
No, you can't.
I'm handling the question.
You can't handle the question.
I'm handling the question. The question is being handled by me saying that they're looking at Christian Walker at first base, they're looking at Nolan Arenado at third base, and they're looking to trade for Cody Bellinger. So those
all right, well, there you go. You answered me then.
So I'll give you the Soto stuff first from that press conference first. David Stearns talking about, yeah, this guy's pretty damn good.
Juan's performance on the field, his accolades, his talent speak for themselves. His consistency at such a young age is nearly unprecedented in the history of baseball.
The history of baseball. Oh, my God. You know,
by the way, Shohei Ohtani's better than he is, and so is Aaron Judge. And all this stuff about, you know what? The New York Mets gave him a $75 million signing bonus.
I know.
Which means he's going to save at least $8 million overall on taxes, because of the way that the signing bonus is differentiated from the salary. I don't know if the Yankees were going to offer that. You know, he's
$60 million, I believe they offered, not 75.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So he's going to make an extra $8 million. Plus, they give him a suite. That's a big thing for him. He's got a huge family.
He made it very clear the family was a big deal.
Yeah, I know. Listen, and the Yankees weren't going to give him a suite because then that would have been a precedent. You would think if you give him a suite, then Aaron Judge is knocking on the door. Can I get a suite too? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, look, he took everything he possibly could take. There isn't any more to take.
Here was Steve
Personal
Cohen.
Personal security?
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, he hit it at the right time, got the right owners involved, and Scott Boras, I mean, he did the right thing for his client.
I'm telling you, I hope he comes in here and he has a great career as a New York Met. I'm hoping that.
man, but there's going to be a lot of, there's a ton of pressure on him.
Well, talk about coming in as a Met. This was the clip that had the talk shows changed their subject and their subject matter yesterday when asked about talking to his Yankee teammates.
Can you share what those conversations with their now former team, the Yankees, and could you share what those conversations might have been like?
I haven't talked to any of those guys. We talked to them through playoff, at the end of the playoff, but after that, I make these process. I haven't talked to any of those.
Mm. Now, he did come out later and say that he's got great relationships with them, but that was the...
I honestly didn't think that was as big of a deal. I mean, he spent the entire year with them. They lost the World Series. These guys go their separate ways.
Yeah.
I mean...
And you got to let the guy go through the process. You don't want to bother him. You think... I don't know if anybody was bothering Aaron Judge when he was going through his process.
Right, and on top of it, he spent a whole year there. That was the part of the recruiting process, was for him to experience being a New York Yankee. And he did, all the way to Game 5 of the World Series. They didn't need to sell him anymore on what it was, because he was there. Now, if other teams where he hasn't played, maybe they got some players that are calling him, hey, this is what it's like here, and give him information. He had all the information. He was there for a year. We didn't need to talk to them.
The other press conference yesterday was Bill Belichick being introduced at the University of North Carolina.
This is really kind of a dream come true. I grew up in college football with my dad.
And so now it's come full circle. He says he was meant to do this.
You know, when you're little, you don't remember everything. Obviously, I was too young to remember a lot of things from Carolina. But as I grew up, you know, you hear the same story over and over and over and over again. And so one story I always heard was, Billy's first words were, beat Duke.
Yeah, you got a nice ovation for that.
Mm-hmm. He's not the basketball coach, though.
He's going to regret bringing a 24-year-old girlfriend to a college campus.
Why do you say that?
I mean, that's going to be like the trophy of all trophies for some frat house. You know it, and I know it. That's a dangerous spot. I don't care how much you love your 71-year-old girlfriend.
71-year-old boyfriend.
I mean, boyfriend. When you're, you know, hanging around some dude named Tyler who brings you over to Phi Kappa Kappa, next thing you know, getting passed around like a blunt. Watch out. Look out.
All right, so who gave us this Delicious Orchards?
This was the Shorehaven Wealth Partners.
Ah, this is from Colts Neck. So I guess it's like an extension of you guys, Eddie and Al.
Well, of course it is, yes.
Yeah, not me exactly, because I don't
fire
have
them?
No, I don't have enough money in with them. So I don't, like, Eddie gets something like that. I'm not at that level yet.
Oh, well, we're not at that level. We don't even do business with them, and we're getting donuts and
Yeah, that's
fruit.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's just a thank you for all the support, probably.
Oh, all the support. We got coffee.
Support? What support are we giving them?
You keep mentioning them.
Oh, it's true.
Yeah. Oh, we got brownies.
All right.
Larry Durso and the boys.
Apple crumb cake. Cinnamon crumb cake.
Oh, yeah.
I don't get that till I transfer my 401k.
Okay.
Do you even get the sleeve of donuts?
And you wouldn't want it anyway. Well, the fruit you would want.
All right, good. This is pretty good here.
Pretty good.
Yeah,
nice. Very nice of them.
Thank you. Sure.
Appreciate everybody.
And shout out Delicious Orchards also. Jerry knows them very well.
You know these guys, Joe?
Do I know them? No. Have I been there? Sure.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. Nice. It's 10 minutes from my house.
I like their packaging. It's very nice. Very substantial.
Very substantial. That's exactly right. And by the way, that is no joke. Maybe 4 minutes from due process.
You got to go underneath the first.
Wow. Are you aware of that?
No. Yeah, I hear you.
I did not know that.
Yeah, well, it's right down the block.
It's like all farms down there and everything.
That's there's a nice apple there for Al. You can give Al the
apple. Al got an apple.
Oh, I tell him now it's touched your hand.
Some donuts. Some white donuts. Jerry, you want a donut?
Not really.
Eat a donut, Jerry.
No.
Jerry,
you just gave me a plate of cookies.
Have a donut.
I'm not a donut guy, but I'll have the brownie.
Jerry, eat a donut.
I don't want the donut.
I'll have a donut.
How about a brownie?
You want a brownie?
I'll have the brownie.
Have a brownie?
Do not take anything from Boomer's hands.
No. The brownie's wrapped.
Okay, all right.
No.
I'll stop.
I'm just saying. I definitely got you sick. Jerry did not get you sick, and whatever we had, maybe Jerry doesn't have. No, I don't think so. I didn't get the flu. I did not get the flu. Who gave us the best gift? Was it D'Agostino's cookie platter? Was it the Jag physical therapy pickleball set? Or was it the Shorehaven Wealth Partners Delicious Orchards box?
Oh, Shorehaven. No question.
I think it's a tie between Shorehaven's Delicious Orchards and your D'Agostino. You got two cookie trays.
Yeah, but look at the volume. That's a like a 30-pound box.
Right. I'm aware. Very, very, very substantial.
And cookie trees this time of year are very expensive.
You're also biased, Eddie.
I'm going to have an orange because somebody said that vitamin C is good for you when you're sick.
It sure is.
Right.
Coming up next hour, I will have a lot of sound for you. The Rams did beat the Niners. San Francisco had a player quit in the middle of the game, which is weird.
Wow, what do you mean weird? I mean, Antonio Brown did it and took his shirt off.
And it was weird. It doesn't happen every Sunday.
I know, this guy just walked off the field.
Very strange. You have the Nets in Memphis tonight. The Devils beat the Kings. The Islanders held off the Blackhawks. I mean, held them off. And we'll have some sound Army-Navy coming up as well.
Something that we didn't get to yesterday because of all the Juan Soto stuff that plays into how this Giants season is going down the tubes at a rate that's going to be very difficult to keep this regime was, in addition to the plane flying over the stadium before the game that said, "Mr. Mara, please fix this dumpster fire," there was an OnlyFans model. Now, I actually tend to believe her after she showed these messages, but she claims that an unnamed Giants player told her to go to the game and flash her boobies at the game, and he would give her free tickets to do so. So she posted all of this out there, her going to the game with a Giants hat. She posted the messages between the two. He goes, "You know, I'm not going to tell you who I am. It's going to be easy to figure out. I'm trying not to get fined," this whole thing. She has the ticket. She's in a nice section, and she's flashing the boobies. So I could guarantee you the way that this story was out there in TMZ and others, that made its way to John Mara from somebody who probably doesn't like Brian Daboll and Joe Shane. You're like, "See, this is another thing. You got losing control of the locker room. We got boobies in the stands, and the Giants players are the one that are making this happen." So when it rains, it pours. And this happened to be the same boobies that, remember that portal to Ireland, that thing?
Yes.
Remember her, that woman who flashed?
Yeah, I mean, it was international relations.
Right, exactly. Yes. So she is known for this. High profile booby flashing.
I would say that whoever the New York Giant player is, you know, I mean, he's actually could be helping Giant fans go to the game and give them, you know, a distraction.
Well, of course.
I mean, so you might sell some more seats around her.
Teats?
I said seats. I didn't say teats.
Oh, I heard teats.
I know what you heard.
I heard teats.
I said
teats. You started saying teats.
I said seats.
A little Freudian slip. It's okay. It happens to all of us. Al said the S word yesterday on the warm-up show. He wanted to say sick. He said something else. So, all right. These are the messages. Ready?
Yes.
"Hey, sexy.
Ooh.
Got those two free tickets to the game if you do me a solid and flash the Saints to distract them." And she goes, "OMG, what? For real? How? I play for the Giants. I got you. Ha 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 ha," she says. "What number? So I make sure you get a good look. I emojis devil emoji." He says, "You'll be able to figure that out easily at the game. Can't have you put me on blast and get me fine money. LOL.
Number one.
Or knowing.
Or. What was Drew Locke's number is what?
God, I don't even remember. He says, "Or you could get me fired." And she goes, "Email the tickets to this email. I'll see what I can do." And there she is at the game with the Giants hat.
Right.
And then there she is with the boobies that says censored there with the boobies.
Hey, Stephen Waldron, can you bring the video up?
Do you have the booby video,
Stephen? That wouldn't go well with all our new Christmas decorations.
Okay. Very good. Yeah.
How do you know?
What do you have against? What do you have against boobies? Has anybody sent you the booby advent calendar? I get that every year from a friend. Have you seen that one?
No.
Well, you're familiar with what an advent calendar
is?
Yeah,
of course. Right? Yeah. I mean, Eddie's been involved in those for years.
That's right, a yarn advent calendar. Well, there's a digital booby advent calendar that makes its way around many of my man stuff.
I have not
group
seen
text
that.
Messages.
I have not seen that one yet.
All right, so I'll send it to you and you can send it out to you guys.
Yeah, great. Guys. I appreciate
sell some more teeth. See?
Yeah, see?
Oh, man.
Sell some more teats.
Sell some more teats.
See?
It happens. It's okay.
Well,
it was
top of mind. Think about it. You know, the Giants have nothing to play for.
That's right.
What do they have? They have three home games left now?
No, I don't even know. I mean, but yeah, if you want to go and flash your boobies at the game, it's going to get colder, though. Just remember that. If it's just a flash, it'd be okay, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it does, but you know the funny part about that? You say it helps sell more teats seats. In these picture, there's not a single one of these Giants fans that looking at the boobies. Look
two,
at this.
Two more home games.
Oh, God. Lord have mercy. Look
Baltimore
at this.
Baltimore this week, of course, in 2 weeks, Indianapolis.
See when she's flashing the boobies here?
Yeah.
No fan is looking at it. They're all looking at the field. No one's
she needs
at
to be in the front row, and she needs to turn around.
Turn around and show the boobies in that way.
She might get escorted out.
Maybe. Yeah, I guess so.
That's a very confident young woman.
Yeah, she likes to put her boobies out there for people to see. And she does it in a way that's got me to talk about it twice, because I loved that, the original one, the portal one. We're like, man, how great is this? You know, humanity, and we're seeing each other, and peace on earth. And then she's just saying, whoop, boobies.
International relations to giant, what do you want to go, maybe mascot?
You know what? That is, the Giants don't have an official mascot. Why not make it her?
The Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders are halfway dressed.
Yeah.
I mean, they are a distraction.
Oh, indeed. And they've been that way for a very long time. So, but all kidding aside for a second, I mean, does something like this, is this a I don't care thing for John Mara? Is like, man, like, I just, this is now enough. I
mean,
can't
who would have
this.
Ever thought that this would even be an issue? Like, this is the thing about social media and things moving as quickly as they are. Like, nobody, I mean, nobody within the Giant organization would have ever thought that a Giant player would have DM'd an OnlyFans model and told her to do what he asked her to do.
Yeah, no, you're right. And nobody would have thought of that at all. Jonathan in Somerset, what's going on, Jonathan?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How we doing?
All right, good.
Good. So this OnlyFans girl, this is the same chick that was with Antonio Brown the night before he freaked out and tore his jersey off at the Jets game and ran out the cone.
Get
same
out of
chick.
Here.
She's a loon. I swear to God, it's Ava Louise. She went to Rutgers. She's a lunatic.
You know what? You're right. I'm looking this up. Yep. That is her. Unbelievable.
It's the same chick. This is her only claim to fame, man. This chick is a lunatic. It's a menace.
You know what, Jonathan? Thank you. Yeah, but boy, she gets herself in the mix. So that's three times she's gotten my attention now with things. The AB sleeping with AB before he is last.
No, for real.
Last NFL game. The boobies in the portal, and now the boobies at the Giants game. Amazing. I mean, that is just wow.
And she probably makes millions on OnlyFans, I would imagine.
Yeah, I would think that she's probably making a decent amount of money.
It sounds like she's very popular.
Yeah. So,
hey man, if the fellas in the league know about her, then she's popular.
She's popular with the fellas.
Yeah.
I think something like this is an embarrassment to John Mara.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's supportive of it.
No,
of course he isn't.
Right. I mean, you know, we all laugh about it, whatever, but I do think that something like this actually hurts their chances of coming back.
Well, I mean, it also goes to show you just exactly the amount of nonsense that a coach has to deal with other than just getting his team prepared for a football game. Now he's got to go into the meeting room and he has to say, look, guys, I don't know who it is. I don't know why you would do this. But, you know, we have a strict policy against this kind of stuff. And you're going to have to be, you know, made aware of that now. I thought we probably talked about social media, but I guess you guys weren't listening. And now that we're losing and you probably think I'm going to lose my job, you're not going to be paying attention to me. You're not going to be giving me the respect that I deserve. I mean, it's just an impossible spot for the coach.
Yeah. It is
possible.
And they want this season to be over sooner than later. Keith McPherson, our night guy here at WFAN, has John Heyman on. And in the course of the interview, he brings up at one point, he goes, how much of the contract are you going to get? What piece of the contract are you going to get when Soto signs? Because I know you and Boris are close. And then John did laugh it off. Like, he's just like, ah, no, nothing. He's like, ah, just not even 0.001%. He's like, no, don't get a cut. So he laughs it off. You don't think much of it. Then, after that, Keith brought up the Arson Judge tweet from 2 years ago. If people remember, he said Arson Judge appears headed to Giants. It was Aaron Judge, obviously, was trying
to
say.
That was in a post.
That was right? It was in an ex post. He made a mistake.
There was no spell check.
Yeah, and he ended up, you know, getting roasted for that. There's actually Yankee fans. I've seen many T-shirts with that particular post on it. So he brings that up. And the audio you're going to hear is John defending that and then slowly losing it and hanging up on Keith McPherson.
So, by the way, I don't need to break this story. I've broken a lot of stories. I think the reason that got such play is because people believe everything I tweet. I've had 100,000 tweets, and, you know, you get one that was wrong, and it did say appears, and I know I rushed it, and it was a big mistake, and I regret it, but it's 2 years later.
No regrets. It's like
at some point, I think someone could probably drop it if they're a nice person.
What I think is it just like how I introduced you. Everybody in baseball knows who you are. So one, it's a credit to your work, your following,
By the way, I won't be going out with you again. The whole thing has been a disaster.
That's okay.
I can't even believe you said that to question my integrity.
Are you being serious right now?
I'm being serious. Yeah,
John.
Ask me if I'm getting a cut because I have a relationship with an agent. That's outrageous. I know you're not a journalist. You don't know anything about this. I know you don't, but that's an outrageous comment.
It's Friday night at 8:30, John.
You should know that much.
And I'm not taking this that serious.
Goodbye.
John, thank you for joining us.
I can't even believe it.
Thank you, John. Appreciate your time. Got to get to bed. I did not expect it to go.
Okay. So, all right. So I've got lots of thoughts on this. First of all, it's funny. And if anybody listens to that and doesn't laugh, then you have no sense of humor. It's just funny.
Can't even believe it.
I mean, it's just great when he flips out and hangs the phone up. Now, after doing a lot of thinking about this, talking to Keith in person about it, I've come to this conclusion. Keith, whether you agree or not about him bringing up those things, meaning the Boris relationship or the Aaron Judge tweet, was not doing it in a malicious manner at all. Now, you could disagree with bringing it up. I really don't think Keith understood how that was going to bother John in the way that it did.
He said, I bring you on because a lot of people know you and your integrity.
And he even said, I regret it. He goes, no regrets. And Keith lives in the internet world. And he's always on social media. And John Heyman, in that internet world, a lot of time gets associated with being the Boris guy, where if Scott Boris has a client, he's going to go through John Heyman to get the stuff out there.
And by the way, John Heyman also said just at the beginning of that, the thing that we always talk about, these baseball writers this time of year, they always use, the words they always use.
Right, right.
He actually, in the Aaron Judge thing, He said, I use the word appears.
Appears, yeah, right.
I didn't use he's definitely going.
Right, of course. So that's how people know John Heyman in the internet world. It's a relationship with Boris and the Aaron Judge thing. So because Keith's there and he's as John Heyman, I was just going to bring these things up thinking that John's heard it all at this point and he can't be bothered by it. And, you know, if you listen to the whole interview, he does laugh off the cut of the contract thing in the beginning. And also Keith is giving him a ton of respect. What I think happened was John has heard that Boris thing a million times. He's heard it a million times. He's probably sick of it. It was the 2-year anniversary, actually, of the Aaron Judge tweet. So he might have seen a lot of that day. It's been a long off season of him dealing with this Soto thing. He's on WFAN on a Friday night with a host he doesn't particularly know, and he just lost it. And I can't sit here and criticize losing it over being criticized because I've done that before, but when you do lose your mind like that, especially on the air, you know, people are going to make fun of it. They're going to bring it up, and he's going to have to deal with that as well. But this reaction that Keith was like the most disrespectful host in the world by bringing that stuff up, that was not his intention at all. And I can guarantee you that maybe it's not the best idea to bring those things up when he's on, but he wasn't doing it to troll. He wasn't doing it to be mean. And it just ended up going haywire.
Well, the other thing, too, from Keith's perspective is that he is a huge Yankee shill. Yeah. Let's face it.
He knows it.
I mean, and so is Chris McMonagle.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. They both are.
Yep.
They're both huge Yankee fans. They will, you know, if you're a Yankee fan and you really want to hear good things about your team or whatever, you're going to listen to those guys.
Right.
So that means the Met fan, right, is not going to appreciate who Keith McPherson is or like maybe like Keith, especially when it comes to this kind of situation.
Exactly right. And this is just an opportunity for all the Mets fans that dislike Keith to go and slam him and say, hey, ah, ha, ha. It was funny. So this was when I saw Keith and Gallo on Saturday night. We were talking about this, and Anthony Gallo is the one of our digital guys who got demoted to the later in the day when Izzo decided to work on the morning show. Remember that whole thing?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
A demotion.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, the big demotion.
Big demotion. Was made shockwaves around here. So one of these guys that's criticizing Keith McPherson and calling for his firing over what he did to John Heyman, right?
Somebody's calling for his firing.
Right, one of these guys. Right.
Because of what we just heard?
Yes, right.
Somebody's saying Keith McPherson should be fired.
Right, but the best part about this is Gallo went back into this guy's tweets and just 2 days ago had a meme of Scott Boras holding a little John Heyman baby with John Heyman's face on it.
And who is this guy?
I don't know who it is because they just told me whatever that day. I don't remember.
Wow.
But this is what... So everybody's like, you're so classless. How can you do that to John? Okay, so you're telling me when the arson judge tweet went out there, you gave John a pass? No, you didn't. And then every one of you out there that was killing Keith about the arson judge thing or bringing up the Boras thing have said the same things about John Heyman. You're just doing it because you don't like Keith or you don't like the radio station or whatever your whole deal is.
Or the subject matter for that. You know, if Keith is asking John Heyman about the Yankees and Juan Soto and you're a Met fan.
Yeah.
And you're thinking you want Juan Soto on your team.
Yeah.
Now, by the way, I didn't hear this whole interview. I just heard the back end of it here.
Yeah.
Did John Heyman say that it looks like Juan Soto was coming to the Mets?
No.
Or appears to be, or seems to be, or maybe?
No, at one point in that interview, he said at this point he could sign anywhere, is what he said.
All right, okay.
So, yeah, but he did end up being right there, you know, with everybody. You know, he might have been first. I think he had the first with the contract details for sure, but it was the same time that both Martino and Heyman ended up putting it out there. But I just, the reaction to it was insane to me. Like, nobody really cares that much about protecting John Heyman. Everybody was such a fraud with that deal. And then when I made a joke about it and put it out there, people responded, oh, don't stoop to Keith's level. Oh, you guys are so classless. Oh, don't go down low like that. I'm like, wait a second. You know, first of all, I'm not above anything. I'm not above being sophomoric. I'm not above being a jerk. I'm not above any of that stuff. Like, I don't know why anybody would think that. We trash talk everybody all day long.
So, by the way, I did see your post on X in regards to that. I was going to call you and say that you spelt his name wrong.
Well, obviously, you missed the joke.
I did.
Yeah. Well,
because it's the arson judge.
Right, exactly. So yes. A bunch of people are like, oh, you're drunk. I'm like, I'm not drunk. I'm actually have not drank in a long time because I felt like crap all week that I didn't have any alcohol. It was a joke. I was misspelling his name because of the arson judge thing, and I wrote the same thing, appears to be. You know, so it was Jin Heyman appears to be headed to Looney Bin is what I wrote. I don't think John appreciated that. Actually, I know he didn't appreciate that. But whatever. I mean, listen, why you can't get that worked up about
these
things.
Why are we all so sensitive? Right. You know, Christmas is right around the corner.
Yeah.
Can we just get over all of it? Can you just?
I can't. I'm over all of it.
But you got right in the middle of it.
I did because I thought it was hilarious. Okay. It was so funny. And I wish Eddie didn't leave because I just would want to hear over and over again. Couldn't even believe it. Over and over and over and over again.
I mean, wasn't John Heyman, like, he went on as a guest with Keith.
He did,
At one point in time, WFN was paying him.
For many years, yes.
So he was a paid contributor here at WFN.
Yeah, he started getting paid when I was a producer. That's how long ago it was. And it continued for many years because he was breaking a lot of stories and... You know, Chernoff would always get on Sweeney and Ed Coleman for not breaking a lot of stories. So they hired John Heyman to come on as a guest. And I remember, so they would like force him on a lot of these shows because Chernoff is like, if I'm paying him, we got to make him work, you know?
Yeah.
Basically one of those things. And I remember when, you know, Chernoff would ask you and Craig to put him on. that you would like absolutely not. We're not going to put this guy on ever. That like became a thing.
Yeah, but it wasn't like that. I had no personal vendetta against him or anything. It was just I didn't want to hear things that were regurgitated in the newspaper, and there was really no substance to it because in their world, you know, all it takes is one player to change his mind.
Yeah, right. Of course.
So they're always very careful about how they are delivering the news when they are trying to predict where a certain player may end up. Or who may get traded, or where they're going to get traded to.
So that's why I found it curious or funny or interesting, whatever you want to use, when John's like, I'm done with WFAN. I mean, they paid him a lot of money for a long time to do squat. Like, that's a fact. Like, they really did. Like, it more money than most of the people that work here 5 days a week behind the scenes busting their ass. So, I mean, it's like, you want to just be completely done with the radio station because one guy, you know, brought up a couple things that you didn't like and didn't really even do it in that much of a disrespectful way at all. So whatever. I mean, it was a silly thing, but it was funny. More than anything, it was funny. If you didn't laugh at that, you're sick.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.